So great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Going to have some fun now talking about Our Wisconsin magazine. And it's a wonderful magazine. The December-January issue is out right now. And with me by phone is the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, Mike Beno. Mike, great to have you back.
Larry, thanks for inviting me back. I usually make a mess wherever I go, but I must not be doing too bad a job with you.
No, hey, I tell you what, it's a lot of fun to talk with you. And I have to say that this issue, and I've liked all the issues of the magazine, but this issue, I think, is my favorite.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. How can you not like Christmas? We have a lot of that going on in the issue. The idea behind the magazine, of course, is that it's written by its readers. We reach out to regular neighbors all across the state. We occasionally have a professional writer or two in there, but really the idea behind this magazine is for folks, regular folks, to share their stories. And my job here is to just kind of sand some of the rough edges off and get the best stories in the magazine. So I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it, Larry.
Oh, there's so many good stories in the magazine. We were just talking with Paul Novak about lefse, and you have a great story about that traditional food. And there's a recipe Paul took a look at. He says different from his, but there are so many different lefse recipes, and this, he says, is one of the old ones. Probably for people who didn't have a lot of money at that time.
You bet. And I enjoyed listening to Paul, but I got a little hungry there with all this kuchen and kolache flying around. So next time I'll have a little lunch before I listen. Lefse, this soft flatbread, a Norwegian staple, is made of potatoes. And during the Depression era, people were looking for anything they could to fill stomachs in their families. We got a story from Prairie du Chien, singing the praises of a lovely lady there named Aunt Myrtle Jansky. Now, she is one of 16 siblings raised on a farm near Viroqua during the Depression, and she and her family still get together, and she, for this making of the lefse, it's kind of a bonding experience in the kitchen, and it goes all the way down to they have a little youngster, age 4, rolling these things out with them. But Aunt Myrtle gathers the family, and then she directs them in the proper way to make this Norwegian flatbread. If you roll the patties too thinly, holes develop, but Aunt Myrtle says not to worry. It's okay to occasionally make some holy lefses. She recommends eating them on Sundays.
But oh boy.
One thing came, and you can have this, you can roll up anything you want in this wonderful flatbread. It's kind of like a tortilla, but butter it, sprinkle it with cinnamon and sugar, put some bacon and eggs in there, kind of Norwegian huevos rancheros. But there's an update to this story. At the end of the story, we have a little notes here saying Aunt Myrtle prefers Kitchen Clean brand potatoes from Rice Lake. Kitchen, K-L-E-E-N. We heard from that potato purveyor, and they're laying some free spuds on Aunt Myrtle. That's kind of the fun stuff that just shows up here all the time when we put these stories from regular folks.
And we'll give our listeners a chance to join in. By the way, you can call with, maybe you've read Our Wisconsin, have a question about it, or maybe a fun thing to share about it. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Dan in Waukesha has something for us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, I was previously on the show with this guest, and I asked him if he could put the pretty picture in the middle of the magazine, and I see you guys have done that with my suggestion.
Dan, thank you so much. And now I have a surprise for you for that wonderful tip, okay?
Yeah.
In our February-March issue, we are introducing something called The Big Picture, and we're doing a three-page panoramic.
Oh, why did the two-page picture in the middle? I have three pages. That's flattering.
Thanks to you, we're doing that, and it's going to splash out some big, colorful horizons. I guess we're taking a page out of the old Playboy magazine with a.
Well, I didn't want to equate it with that, you know. I just wanted a pretty picture in the middle where you could tear it out if you wanted.
Well, you can, and take a look. You're going to have a little bit longer one.
There you go.
I got two more things.
Sure.
I didn't notice cartoon capers in the last issue. I can't live without it.
You're spanking me on this one, and I'm going to tell you something. Here's let it never be said here, we don't listen to our readers. Dan's talking about a little puzzle that we've run in the magazine from Dave Carpenter, our cartoonist. Two panels, cartoon panels, and we challenge the readers to find the 10 differences from one panel to another. Okay. Now, we just added a Wisconsin-based crossword puzzle into the magazine.
Yeah, see that.
That I noticed.
Trying to freshen it up, and we got a Valentine's one coming up next time by Kelly Witt of Sussex. She's doing these specially for us. So we thought we'd rotate one puzzle out and rotate one puzzle in.
Okay. Well.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
do an article on the Elias and Motor Tobacco Company.
Well, back to finishing cartoon capers, we got a lot of phone calls here right when that magazine landed, and folks were telling us, that's my favorite thing in the magazine. Of course it is, you know, and it's my favorite thing in the magazine, and my husband and I compete against time to see who can get these the quickest, and if that's not in here, I'm sorry, I just don't want this magazine anymore. I don't know how many dozen.
I'm not alone on this one.
Yeah, so anyway, it's coming back in February, March, our next issue, and it's in there for good, I'd say.
There you go.
I'm slow on the uptake,
but I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate the call. Wait, by the way, you mentioned another story? Dan said, I think Dan said, oh, you ought to do a story on something.
I didn't.
Elias and Motor Toboggan Company.
Oh, yeah, the first snowmobile. We did do a story on that some time back.
You reprint the article on the line.
Reprint it. They say Elison up here.
Elison.
That was the insaner. That was the inventor of the snowmobile in the 1920s. It was invented right here in Wisconsin.
And I remember that you did have an article in one of the issues.
There's at the Vilas County Historical Museum in Saner, there's quite a bit about that in there, but there's also the Snowmobile Hall of Fame just down the road a few miles in St. Germain. So if you're into old sleds, they're all up here in Vilas County, that's for sure. Carl Elison, I believe, founded or invented the snowmobile.
Yeah. Dan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fun talking to you. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Well, here we've got, Christmas, Hanukkah, the holidays just coming right up here. And I really like the story you had about a family who started a great tradition almost 20 years ago. It's a great idea, and I think it would be fun to start a walk like this. And that's the story of the tree.
The Christmas walk in the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, that one was turned in. It's a thoughtful little essay turned in by our field editor, Heidi Overson, in Vernon County. She lives in Coon Valley. Beautiful area with the hills all around. And we're talking about Norwegians before. That's where this annual ski jumping tournament's held. But Heidi shared a story about Christmas in 98 when she took her young daughters to the family farm. They're age 8 and 6, just to take a little Christmas walk in the snowy woods. And they're carrying some apple slices in their pockets in case they sit down for a snack. These are little kids, short legs, the snow is deep, and, you know, you got a plan. And as they're walking along, and they cross a creek and they're taking a short walk, the girls pretty soon are looking back at that house thinking hot chocolate. They were on a little bit of a march with Mom. So she stopped, and they stopped next to a small bent little fir tree, kind of reminded her of Charlie Brown Christmas. And one of the daughters reached into her pocket, Mari did, and said, "Let's leave these for the animals, Mommy." And they scattered their apple slices all around, thinking that the deer and squirrels might enjoy a little Christmas snack. Well, every year since, they return to that farm to see that little fir tree, which has grown and grown and grown. And now they're carrying grocery bags with popcorn, birdseed, and fruit, and festooning the tree and scattering it all around. The four-legged animals, companions, the Labradors and such, through the years no longer are with them, and they have some new ones now. But the tradition never changes. The girls are young women now, and they enjoy doing this. They wouldn't miss it. And they still go out and put out all the bounty as kind of a honoring all things nature in nature. And they walk away seeing the chickadees mob this tree, and it warms their hearts every Christmas.
It's a really, really nice story. Mike Beano, our guest editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. We'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then he will be back. You stay with us. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at the places and the people who make Wisconsin great and hearing some wonderful stories from our guest, Mike Beano, back with us once again. He's editor of Our Wisconsin. It's a magazine packed with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about Wisconsin. And the December, January issue out now, and we're talking with us about it. You may have a question or comment about the magazine itself, maybe a story to share relating to the magazine, or maybe there's an event or something you'd like to talk about in your part of Wisconsin that's going on or that will be going on soon. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Mike, what's your subscription at now these days? Mike, are you there? Oh, Mike, I wonder if Mike's... Mike Beano, our guest, and I think he's there. I think I hear him, but he's not hearing me for some reason. Mike, are you there? I'll be. Well, we're having a little technical difficulty for some reason here.
Hello.
Mike, are you there?
I'm there.
Oh, there we go. All right. Glad to have you back with us. We had a little technical difficulty there for a minute, but now we're back and going strong. So you have... we were talking about all the different stories that you have in the magazine, but what's your subscription these days?
The number of subscribers is we're just over 100,000 paid subscribers to Our Wisconsin, and we're also on probably about 600 newsstands around the state. I thought it was a good idea when we launched the magazine 4 years ago. I didn't think it would go grow this rapidly. I've said it before. I was a longtime fan of Howard Mead's Wisconsin Trails magazine.
Yeah.
That one went away, unfortunately. I believe Howard told me that, and they got almost up to 80,000 circulation, and they were around 52 years. In 4 years, we're past 100,000 here, and there's no brag in that, as I've said here before. It's got nothing to do with what Mike Beano or anybody else is doing with this magazine. It's got everything to do with the fact that people love Wisconsin, and I think they continue to prove that with the stories they're sending us. And thanks, everybody, for sharing those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a... a number of one of the reasons I like this particular issue so much is that all the touching stories that you have in the magazine. I think that story about the perfect gift for mom, that, you know, that reads like a movie script almost.
It does, and we actually have a story about a movie, too.
Yeah.
But Larry, you're talking about the story. This was shared by John Hansen and Hayward. He's thinking back to recalling his childhood back around Christmas 1952, and he was 8 years old, and he'd been dribbling a basketball like a rambunctious child would in his parents' living room, and his parents didn't have very much, a young couple, and he smashed his mother's antique glass basket. It was a wedding gift and her favorite, her most prized possession, and he couldn't erase the picture of her sobbing at the loss of that from her mother. So here's this 8-year-old boy with his life savings in a little cardboard box walking the street in Hayward trying to find the perfect gift for mom. And he went into Hampton's gift shop run by people who knew his family, and everybody in that town, I'd have to guess, knew one another back then. And he's looking around the store, and he's got his $2.93 in pennies, and the kindly lady, Mrs. Hampton, spills it all out and says, "Well, let's see what we could get you for your mother here." After he explained his predicament, and she took him over to some small knickknacks, but he kept looking at this very large and a little bit on the gaudy side, but it sure catches attention. Vase off in the corner, far out of his price range, obviously. And he kept looking at it, and the man behind the counter, Mr. Hampton, said, "Johnny, let's see how much money you have there." He says, I think he's got exactly enough to buy that vase." And she wrapped it up and sent it home, and he snuck it under the tree. And on Christmas morning, his mother found it and read the card. "To Mom, I'm sorry. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Love, John." She unwrapped it, kind of gasped at the size of this thing. "And where did you get this beautiful vase, John?" He told her the story, and she started crying again. And the little kid was worried she didn't like the gift, and she said it was the best thing she'd ever received, and it stood there on the table until she passed away at age 85.
It is a wonderful, wonderful story. I really enjoy it. And there are others that you mentioned movies. There was a movie made from a book about a family in Eureka, Wisconsin, and I had missed, or maybe I'd forgotten that story, but it was fun to read about it.
Well, and we had a Eureka moment, Larry, because the credit for this story, I just talked about people sending in their pieces. You and I were on the air here probably about a year ago, and one of your listeners, Peter Dart Fashion from Fond du Lac, called in with a tip about this story, and we followed up on it. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah.
So the story is, Hollywood came to Oshkosh because there's a fascinating story. Eureka, the river town there, back in 1856, an immigrant couple from Scotland, Robert and Mamie Yunson, came there, and they settled. And the gentleman was a boat builder, and he found work with his own company. They had six children by 1868, and from ranging in age from 12 years old down to two. Diphtheria swept through the settlement that winter, and after a while, Dad was stricken, and he died quickly. Mom, Mamie, the widow, has six children. She contracts typhoid fever, and she's about to die heading into Christmas, and this is a true story. She called her 12-year-old son, Robbie, to her bedside, the oldest one, and said, let him know what was happening, and she made him promise to find good homes for his brothers and sisters. she realized nobody could take in six children, but she suggested to him to try to get the children in with families that already had kids, so the siblings wouldn't be so lonesome. Now the adults in town saw the problem, and they were getting together the day after Christmas to decide what to do with these orphan children. And Robbie, age 12, he asked them one request: could he let them stay together and have one last Christmas Eve together? And they granted that request. So he and his brother hatched a plan, probably 12 and 10. So the next day's Christmas, they reasoned nobody would turn down their request to adopt a child if they showed up on someone's doorstep on Christmas morning. And this young man, orphaned at age 12, took the children around and gave them away to people in town who promised that they would raise them. And the story was told through the years by Robbie. Everybody did well. Everybody did fine. By 1908, Robbie was Robert Yunson, sheriff of Clark County.
Yeah.
Okay, and he told this story often, and his son, Dale, wrote a book about it in 1947 called The Day They Gave the Babies Away, and that brought it to a wider audience. 1957, RKO Pictures released the movie All Mine to Give, with a premiere at the Ralph Theater in Oshkosh with Klieg Lights and the Governor and everything
wow.
else. But there's historical markers here that commemorate this. The last baby he gave away, he walked 12 miles, followed the river up to Berlin, and with his little 2-year-old sister in a sled, knocked on a door and said, "Please, ma'am, I was wondering if you'd care to raise my sister."
Yeah.
Dale Yunson, who wrote the book, by the way, went on to create scripts for movies and TV. Not surprisingly, it's about family things, and those shows he wrote, he lived into his 90s, were Leave It to Beaver, The Waltons, and Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, what an amazing, amazing story. I just, hard to believe, with a really nice ending to it.
It is.
Audrey in Delafield has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Larry. I just had to call and say I just absolutely love the magazine. I hadn't heard of it at all until they came to our coon feed here in Delafield the last Saturday in January. Our Legion Post puts on a big coon feed.
Mm-hmm.
They came and I happened to be sitting at the table I was working, volunteering at the coon feed, and had a chance to sit down and visit with the gentleman and lady who had come. And they wrote about it, and the following year we had people coming from as far as Appleton and Illinois and South Milwaukee just to come and enjoy our unique dinner.
Oh,
Larry, did you ever eat coon?
Oh, yeah.
You did? Okay. Well, this coon feed has gone on for, 94 years, Audrey?
What was that?
The
94
coon?
Years, yes.
94 years. And the name of the Legion Hall is which?
Delafield American Legion Post 196.
And the coon feed is in honor of Peter. Who was the founder? Peter was his name, I think.
No, that was, he was a former barber, the barber in Delafield who started the coon field. And he and his buddies used to get together. They'd go coon hunting, and then they'd have the dinner, and then they'd invite people, and pretty soon it just grew. Tom McNulty.
Tom McNulty, thank you. Coon feeds. Now, here, who does coon feeds anymore? That kind of story just leaps out at me. And Ann Hattie's in Waukesha wrote that story. She went with her husband, Neil. And I believe she won some kind of an award for that story. She let us know later. I'm not sure where.
Well, that's wonderful. But we have we enjoyed it. But since that time, I sent a subscription out to my daughter and son-in-law who live in North Dakota. And, of course, they were from Delafield and Dalsman. So they just really enjoy it. And then that beautiful Holy Hill puzzle that you had, I sent one of those to my daughter out in North Dakota. I don't know how long it took her to put it together, but she finally did get it put together, but she said it was just lovely.
Holy Hill in the fall is beautiful.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you so much for calling. Well, she mentioned the puzzles, but you have a calendar this year, again, which I loved. Your calendar from last year sat over my desk is still sitting there, as a matter of fact, because we're not to the end of the year yet.
Okay, well, we're going to have to fix that, won't we, Larry? Yeah, we have calendars and books and puzzles. A lot of it tied to the photography in the magazine, and if people are interested, they can Google ShopOurWisconsin.com.
And to subscribe to the magazine, just go to OurWisconsin.com.
OurWisconsinMag.com.
Yeah, okay. One of the cool things you have is a hidden key hunt that you do every year, and I hear you have a winner.
Well, you know, Larry, I wasn't going to spill the beans until the next magazine comes out, but I'm going to do it just for you, just because the story is so much fun. What Larry's talking about, of course, for those who haven't are uninitiated here, is we have a treasure hunt in which we hide the hidden key to a car or a boat in a park somewhere in the state of Wisconsin. We have a page in the magazine each time giving people a new hint, and we have a map in the magazine where we eliminate counties 10 at a time to narrow down the search area, and we tell people to please take a hefty bag so they can help clean up litter in Wisconsin's parks, and also so people won't get onto them and figure they're up to something and follow them around looking for that key as well. We've given away two cars, and then we gave away a pontoon boat last year, and now we have given away a MiroCraft 1677 Outfitter single hull boat. Those are built in Wisconsin, MiroCraft at Northport Marine in Gillett. We also gave away a 25-horse Evinrude outboard that's built in Sturtevant and a caravan bunk trailer that's built in Fox Lake, I believe, $15,000
yeah.
package. So this search for that key went on for 8 months this year. And about a month ago, a little bit over, I get a call at voicemail at my home, and there was a calm voice saying, "Hello, my name is Gloria Mytok from Beloit. I'm sitting in Beckman Mill Park. I'm holding the key. I'm goosebumps from my head to my toes. Call me at your earliest convenience." Gloria's story. She's a 40-year nurse in the Beloit health system, and she's a fan of the magazine and drove all over the state. She drove to Horicon. She drove to Devil's Lake. She enjoyed and getting out in Wisconsin. She said her friends call her the wanderer because she wanders state parks and sees what's out there. She was searching for the key. Then one day it occurred to her, why don't I check out this Beckman Mill Park, 20 minutes from my house. So she goes out there, and it's a 50-acre facility, a lot of living history of Wisconsin. There's a cooperage, there's a sawmill, there's a covered bridge there, a lot to see and do in this beautiful park that has a lot of volunteers working for it to keep it up. And she's looking around with her garbage bag, and she said, "I felt behind a staircase, and I felt some plastic, and I thought, I might ruin something. And I need to backtrack here just a bit," because as she was searching, she was saying a prayer. Her daughter is getting married this summer to a very big outdoorsman, and she said, her prayer was, "If I find this, it will be the ultimate wedding gift for my hardworking daughter and her fiancé." So she's looking. She's in Beckman Mill Park after all this searching, feels some plastic. "Maybe I'll wreck this. I got to see what it is." Tears it off. She found that key. She said, "I walked to the first picnic table. The park was busy. I buried my head in my hands and said a prayer of thanks that I now had something this good to give to my daughter and her husband. I was shaking, and I called you on myself at that moment." that's what happened. And Gloria and her daughter Tricia of Orfordville, she works the midnight shift as a medical tech in Monroe at a clinic, and her fiance Luke Reins, also of Orfordville, they went with Gloria up to Northport Marine and picked up the boat, and Luke said, "Hey, Mike, guess what? No more fishing offshore." He loves fishing the Rock River, so he's going there, and he's going to the Madison Lakes too, Larry. So keep your eyes open for him.
That is such a great story. That's coming. That's a story you're going to be telling in the next issue. But in this issue, there are so many that we could talk about. There's the car museum in Green Bay. There's Tom's got a great article on snowy owls. There's the Packers story about the fan from Texas, Glenn Christensen, who has essentially a museum in Texas.
He does. He's got a shrine full of Packer memorabilia. He's a Green Bay native who followed a job down to Texas in 84. He lives minutes from where the Dallas Cowboys play. He's a season ticket holder and comes 1,100 miles to Lambeau Field for every game. If there's back-to-back games, he stays the week. Growing up, he never had a ticket. And he's just started collecting memorabilia down there. His mother was the first majorette with the Green Bay Packers Lumberjack Band in the early 40s. His dad worked at Don Hudson's auto dealership, the one in Green Bay, not the one in Racine. And he just started collecting Packers memorabilia. He has, a bench from the Ice Bowl game where the players sat on it. But you know what those benches were, Larry? Those were just cadged out of the parks in Green Bay back then. These were, kind of old green painted benches, dark green. And Dave Robinson, the Hall of Famer, came to this little shrine there, sat and talked 2 hours with Glenn about sitting on that bench and talking to all the players that were there at the Ice Bowl. He's got a helmet we're showing here from Carol Dale from the 68 Pro Bowl. All it was, they just painted his game helmet over gold and stuck a cheap sticker on it saying NFL, and that's what it was like in those days, you know. So people are coming to this shrine, and he says the most common thing he hears is they're fans of other teams. They say, they cannot believe history going back to the 20s that's here. And they said, the Packers are now my second favorite team.
and the some great photos in there of all of the different things that he's collected. It's a great story. Just one of many. We didn't even get into recipes, but here we are out of time. Mike, it's always such a great pleasure to be able to talk with you. And I always look forward to what you've got in our Wisconsin magazine. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Larry. It's always great to share these stories.
And ourwisconsin.com, that's the place to go.
Ourwisconsinmag.com.
Ourwisconsinmag.com. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Mike Bino is editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. There are a lot of really fun stories in this issue, and there are in every issue. So it was great to be able to talk with him again. Well, let's just take a look to tomorrow. Phil Pelletieri joins us, our emeritus UW Extension entomologist. And, of course, he always comes by to talk about the world of insects and the wild insects that may be infesting your home right now. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.